Let's open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings to us. Thank you for this opportunity we have to come before you and come together and as like-minded believers, Lord, and open your word. And we know that your word does not return unto you void. And so we take great assurance in that. And we thank you for this day and this time that we can come together and pray that you'd be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So if I can have you turn to Ephesians 4, Gregory's going to start us off with Ephesians 4, 1 through 16.
Good morning. Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity to the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and there and through all and you all in. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended in the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfection of the saints, for the work with the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, and unto measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body filleth, joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Thank you, Gregory. I'm going to continue at verse 17. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct and the old man, which grows up corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And I'm going to call Nicholas to continue with us at verse 25.
Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man's truth with his neighbor, we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Let the sun not go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven ye. This reminds me of Matthew 22:35-40. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second, like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So what I took from Ephesians 4:25-30 was, we as humans were given free will by God, which is the option to praise him, but also to turn against him. God wants us to spread his word and encourage others, both believers and non-believers, to draw closer to him. Ephesians 4:25-30 ties into Matthew 22:35-40, because if we were in the non-believer's position, we would want someone to come up to us and witness to us, sharing God's love.
Thank you, Nicholas.
So we wanted to kind of set the tone with Ephesians 4, and we're going to try and see how we can tie it together with some other verses that we're going to talk about. If we can go to 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 12. Starting at verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in the fact that the body is not one member, but many. And here we can see that no matter what our background is, or even our current status in this world, as believers in Christ, we are his body. We're indwelt with the Spirit and guided together, and it unifies us in Christ. the next few verses warn us about the pride of being different parts of the body and how, depending on the station you have or depending on the gifts you have, depending on, it makes you more important to God and to each other. And when we realize that being part of the body is enough, no matter what you do for God, no matter what your station, no matter what your position, it's enough. So we don't want to get caught up in our pride about that. Backtracking a little bit, 1 Corinthians 12:4 says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. We don't have to have the same gifts. We're not the same part of the body of Christ. We make up the body of Christ, working together. And Christ is our head. Verse 11 says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Which reminded me of Mr. Szczesinski mentioned last week in Colossians 3:11, Christ is all in all. So if we read Colossians 3, starting at verse 9, it says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is no Jew, or where there is no Greek, nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. This brought me to Philippians 2, 1 through 16. Philippians 2, starting at verse 1. Starting at verse 1, it says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. We heard it in the Lord's Supper, talking about the unity of being drawn together and being of one mind. I think that was in Romans this morning. So here we see the unity again. We saw it in the beginning of Ephesians 4, how we are in one spirit and one body. Now we've seen it mentioned in Ephesians, Corinthians, Colossians, and Philippians. We often talk about how when we see something mentioned more than once, it's often so that we can make sure that we take note of it. It's important. We need to hear it more often. We need to hear it more times and in more different ways. So in taking note of that, we need to draw ourselves together. God doesn't want us to be the same. He didn't make us that way. He doesn't need us to do the same things. He doesn't need us to reach out the same way. He's given us gifts to do it differently, that we might reach more people for him. We may even disagree from time to time, but as long as that doesn't interfere with our love and service for our God, it's okay. Picking up at verse 3, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. This reminds me of what Nicholas was talking about with the greatest commandments, to love God first and look out for each other. Love each other second. Verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and glory to God the Father." Praise the Lord. We have our Savior died on the cross, rose again on the third day, and we serve a risen Savior. And that that salvation's available and free to us to just accept the gift. If you're not sure, please make sure you see one of us before the end of the before you leave today, because now is the time. Picking up at verse 12, it says, Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. If we were all focusing on God and not our differences, how much more could we enjoy this life and all it has to offer us? We can also think that it would be a lot more like we can look forward to being in heaven as we're in the very presence of our Savior and our God. Here it mentions that us as lights of the world. This reminds me of when Mr. Dean mentioned it a couple of weeks ago in 2 Corinthians 4, 5, and 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 5, says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservant for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." It makes me think of a flashlight or a lantern. By itself, it casts some light. But as we unify and as we work together, we can reach more. We can get a lot more done for our Lord. Mr. Johnson mentioned a few weeks ago that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. We can show our love of Jesus to more people working together, and so that's our outreach, and we can also help out looking out for each other, because as we have light, we are less likely to stumble in our sin. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, 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 shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm gonna let it shine, 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 shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Shine it till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine, 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 shine it till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Thank you. Sometimes it's refreshing. As Gregory read it in the beginning of Ephesians 4, when he got to 11 through 13, he said, and he gave himself, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And this made me think that he gave each person, each of us, each believer, our own gifts, our own place, our own things that we do for God. But he gave all of us, each one of us, the gift of ministry. Our ability to lean on each other and look out for each other, to build each other up, edify the body of Christ, which is his church, of which we are members. We are also able to use our ministry to witness to the non-believers or the lost, to show the lost the way to Christ, the way to eternal salvation. So either way, we are edifying the body of Christ, either in strength and encouragement or in number. It's such a blessing to think of it. In verse 13, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This makes me think of what it must be like in heaven. Is that perfect man, totally focused on God. And so to get a glimpse of that picture, if we could turn to Revelation 21. We're going to start at verse 1. Revelation 21, starting at verse 1, says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he dwelt with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write these words, for these words are true and faithful. Another thing mentioned this morning in morning worship is that this is true and he is faithful. Verse 6 says, and he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. We are all members of one church, the body of Christ. We are his bride, and he prepares us for that day when we can dwell together forever. Reading at verse 22, it says, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Again, in his presence, we need no remembrance feast. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine, for the glory of the Lord illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And now we're just emulating the Lamb as we prepare for this day when we're in his presence. And the nations of those who were saved shall walk in the light, and the kings of the earth shall bring glory and honor into it, and its gates shall not be shut at all by day, and there will be no night there. And there shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a glorious time to be in the presence of the Lord forever. Please sing with me number 543 in the Green Book, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. When the trumpet of the Lord is round, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved and of the other end on the other shore, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home upon the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all thy wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Doesn't it sound so much better when we sing together? That unifying, that you united presence is what carries us through in our love for God. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. We can open your word, Lord, and we just pray that you'd help us to remember the things that you'd have us to think of and help us to ponder them in our hearts that we might not sin against you, Lord. We just thank you for this day and this time we can come together freely and just worship and look into your word. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.